Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in knowledge of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. Our Heavenly Father, take us into this message. Allow this message be taken into each and every heart and mind. Lord, I pray, your will be done. Your name be uplifted. And give us strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I get into the message, I want to thank the ladies who preached for me last Sunday. I listened to it. They did preach. Amen? Amen. They did a great job. And those are ladies you see working around here almost every day. You know, there's a tendency. I have two houses now, one that I'm living in, one that I'm not. And I've noticed something about the one that I do not live in, that when it's left to itself, it deteriorates. Have you noticed that? Anything that in this world that seems left to itself, destruction happens, whether it's in the garden or the yard. As a matter of fact, I hired somebody to mow the grass and trim it over there because I didn't want it to go down like they do. It's the same way with us. If we don't have a goal physically, Rob told me he rode 60 miles or something like that on his bicycle. If you don't have a goal, in order to keep your body up, it will deteriorate. The same way things go are for both mental and spiritual being. And God said, as newborn babes, we're supposed to grow. Now, if you want to see somebody grow, take a baby that is born from the day that it's born and look at it when it's a month old. It doesn't look the same. They've grown so much. And in 4 months, and in a year, and in 2 years, they're walking, and, you know, and talking. And we see how fast you think your children go fast. Wait till you have grandchildren. Man, they just grow up overnight. And God said, spiritually, we should be growing. And if we're not growing and if we don't have a plan to grow, we're going to deteriorate. We're going to go backwards. We're going to go down. And none of us want to do that. If you want to succeed in your life, if you want to succeed in your spiritual life, you cannot allow fear to hold you back. Fear is the biggest thing that keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. I'm going to let you in on a little secret today. When I was in the Navy, I was called to preach. I knew I was called. I can tell you what happened, and it may not convince you, but it sure did convince me. I also knew that I was unqualified. I was unqualified to be a minister or a pastor. So I started taking classes, and as I'd fly 3 and 4 days a week, I'd take my books with me on the airplanes. And then I noticed every time the captain flew, I was on his crew. He liked it that I had my Bible with me. When I got out of the Navy, I knew that I wasn't good enough to preach. So I continued going to college and working in a factory, and God opened a door for me to hold a revival. I felt so inadequate. I started pastoring, and I never felt that I was the type of pastor that I grew up under. And I've continued to pastor now from the time that I was 23 years old till I'm 67. And let me let you in on that secret. I still do not qualify to be here standing behind this desk. But I had one goal in mind. And that goal was, I would like to see people get saved. I like to see people come to the Lord. I like to see them when their life changed for the better. I like to see the faces as I look out across the congregation and see people happy because their life in Christ is real. I like it when I go to a marriage and you have two people that love the Lord. I like that. And I see that God brought them together, and they tell me, Jason, I like it when you tell me, you know, God brought you here and brought your girls to you so you could raise them. I like that. I never did feel qualified to pastor. But I knew that I could do something. I knew that I could win people to Jesus Christ because all I had to do was tell them what happened to me. See, I wasn't really called to preach. I was called to win souls to Jesus Christ. And that has been my only goal through my entire life. Whether I'm in the pulpit or out of the pulpit, whether I'm on vacation, no matter where I'm at, no matter who I talk to, I want to see people come to Christ. And when they come to Christ, I like to see them grow. My dad, when Jet was born, was just little, and I mean he was little when he was little. And my dad, his mind was going from Alzheimer's, but yet he always loved little babies. And he loved holding them, and he loved feeding them. And maybe it's something in our family, but we just like to see things grow. I like to see my flowers grow. I like to see a garden grow. I like to see my kids grow. I like to see my grandkids grow, and now my great-grandkids. And I like to see everyone in the church grow. I don't see you as a crowd. I don't see you as a congregation. I see you as an individual. And Michael, I want you to grow from being here today. And I want that little guy right there to grow. Because he's been here today. I want every one of you to take something home that you can grow and you can say, I know what the meat of the word is and the milk of the word is. And I want to grow in Jesus Christ. I know some people come to church only to see or be seen. I read about a church, it wasn't a big church. But the rumor got around town that the president was going to be there that Sunday. Now, you can pick your president. We're not going to go there. Pick your favorite. It's an individual thing. I already told you that this morning. Pick your favorite. Now, this lady was a member of the church, but she hadn't attended church for several years. So she called the pastor and said, I've heard that the president's going to be in church Sunday. And I want you to know that my grandmother was a member and my parents were members and I've been a member ever since I was a little girl and I want you to make sure that I have a good seat. He said, ma'am, I'll make sure you have a good seat for Sunday. But I want to tell you something, the president isn't going to be here. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, is going to be here on Sunday. She said, I'll pass. If you see anything on a Sunday morning, we should see his power, we should see his strength. We should all have one goal in mind as a Christian, and that is to win somebody to Jesus Christ. Whether it's your husband, whether it's your wife, whether it's your child, your brother, your sister, your neighbor, the person you work with. We all know someone that needs a drink of water. I'm going to leave it out because I'm not done yet. The law of nature is if you leave it alone, it will deteriorate. Luke 11:26 says, then goeth he and taketh him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of man is worse than the first state. He's saying when God cleans you up, if you don't plant godly seed there and you don't start in righteousness and living in righteousness, you're going to backslide. You're going to get away from the things of God, and you're going to be worse off than you were before you ever came to Him. Samson thought he was strong, but he was captured. Solomon thought he was smart. Peter thought he could never deny Christ. I'm telling you, stop thinking about what you can and can't do and start winning people to Jesus Christ. I very seldom talk about how to build a church or how to grow a church, because I know the only way that it'll grow is if you grow. The only way that it'll grow if you become a soul winner and start winning people to Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it?" And when you realize that your heart is wicked, it's going to lead you in wicked ways. You can't go by your heart. You can't go by your feeling. You can't go by what you think. You can't go by what you feel. I learned a long time ago where the Bible says it, I believe it, and I change. It isn't always easy because you're fighting the flesh. But the Bible is our standard. And if we do not understand that, we will sink lower and lower. We do not understand that, we will self-destruct. God gave us this word and He said, read it. And I read it. And I believe every word in it. I even believe the part says Holy Bible. I believe it's holy. I believe the part that says love your enemies. I believe the part that says be a giver. I believe the part that says, if you have something, help someone else. I believe the part where it says, you should love your neighbor as yourself. I believe the part that says, you should shine in darkness. I believe the part that says, whosoever believeth in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. When you come into everlasting life, you step out of this wicked world and you step into that heavenly kingdom of righteousness. I believe it. There's a story told about the Russians during World War II. They had this secret weapon. They taught dogs. They put food under their tanks. And they would strap a bomb onto the dog, and the dog would go up and get the food. And they trained them. They said for over a year they trained these dogs, and these dogs would run right up under the tank. Of course, they had the weight of a bomb strapped on them, but it wasn't a real bomb. They were just training them. And they brought them out, and they were ready to fight their enemy and use these bomb dogs. And they sent the dogs out, and the dogs ran under the Russian tanks. They recognized the difference. They had to retreat after 2 days and call off their aggression. We do that ourselves. We think it's a good plan. We think it's a good idea. But it's got to be God's will be done. Nothing works together for good unless we love the Lord. If we fail to plan, we're doomed to fail. In an old movie, Jimmy Stewart used to say, "I'm from Indiana, Pennsylvania." Well, somebody says they're from Indiana, Pennsylvania, first thing, you're going to look very confused because you don't know which road to go, east or west. But when you find Indiana, a town in Pennsylvania, you'll find your way. Following God is the same way, but you must have a plan. You must know where you're going. You must go where you're headed. Habakkuk 2:2 says, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it." The plan for building a church, and this church is growing, and we have seen people saved year after year after year and baptized year after year after year. Matter of fact, I think, is it the 9th? We're having a baptismal service. The 11th. We're having a baptismal service. And we already have 4 or 5 adults ready to go. And if you haven't been baptized, you should be. But he said, write it so clear that anyone that picks it up can read it. And if you read anything from this church, we win souls. We did not move out here from downtown in order to fill the church with people that attended church. We came here to find people that didn't go to church. And I can go through pew after pew and name who you were, that you were not involved in church until you came here. Why? Because it's a soul-winning church. And a soul-winning church has a heart for one another, and they love one another, because the most important thing isn't our difference. Our most important thing is that we want to get people saved. And you can't get people saved by hate. You can't get people saved by turning your back on them. You can only get people to come to Christ if you love them. And it can't be a fake love. It has to be a real love, and that real love comes from being really saved, really born again. A new creation in Christ Jesus. Someone that's willing to give up their ways for God's ways. I've always tried to preach to the back row because you guys back there can hear me, all of you can hear me. And we always try to love the unlovely. Shoot for the stars, Grandpa used to say, and you might hit the moon. It's better than landing in a mud puddle. And I agree with him. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "But this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully." My brother-in-law is out planting beans this past week. He knows that if he plants the exact number of beans that that field can handle, and he works that ground just right, that he'll get a bountiful crop. And I know that if we live as close to Jesus Christ as we can, we will win people to Jesus Christ. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made as white as snow." Failure is no crime. I've talked to a lot of people that didn't come to Christ. But I've talked to a lot of people who did. Life isn't about the aim, it's about the focus. Always in your mind and your heart, and that only comes from having a heart for God, is seeing people come to Christ. That's what's wrong with the church today. We go out and we preach every little thing that we know of in the Bible that condemns everybody in the world. Jesus said he didn't come to condemn the world. It's condemned already. But he came to save the lost. And our focus has to be upon getting people saved. And sometimes that means turning your cheek. Sometimes that means giving up what you have. Sometimes it means giving your time. Sometimes it means giving your talent. But it means that we must win souls. The main thing is always the main thing. And the main thing is making sure people come to Christ. If people do not come to Christ in our generation, there will be no next generation. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Seek ye first that big job. Seek ye first that education. Seek ye first that money. Seek ye first that good wife or good husband. Seek ye first, no. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and his rightness. And you can't agree with his rightness until you understand what the scripture is. Seek ye first, and then all these things will be added unto you. I can tell you something. I've never been qualified to stand here, but I'll tell you, God has sure added a whole lot of things in my life. The best friends that I could ever have, best relationships that I could ever have, the best job that anyone could ever have in the entire world. I tell our seniors, why are you looking to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a computer expert? That's all continued education. You become a preacher, go to seminary, learn that book, and you don't have to learn anything else. You know, the continuing education, let's go back through the book of Mark. I love it. And I learn every day. I learned last night. I learned this morning. What holds brick together? Mortar or cement? What keeps a brick apart? Mortar. Cement. God has given you everything you need to build a church. All you've got to do is use it in the right direction instead of the wrong direction. How do we have growth? We improve. "And when he saw the fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing therein but leaves only. And he said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away." God demands fruitfulness because it isn't about, you say, well, preacher, I can't tell anybody about Christ. You can if you get excited enough. You ever got a new car? Kept in the garage and didn't tell anybody? New girlfriend? Boyfriend? I got new glasses. Nobody's even noticed. I got a new haircut. Well, if we can't compliment you, preacher, at least we're not going to condemn you. It's summer. When we become a soul winner, we make sure that people can see Christ in us because that's the only way we can win anyone. We become kinder and more understanding. We love more. We have more faith. We're more faithful to the church. And we pray more because we understand what we're here for. We're not here so we can have chandeliers. We're here so when we come together and a loved one is married or a loved one dies, that there is strength because we know who Jesus is. And you can't do that if you aren't willing to share your faith. The Bible says the fields are white for harvest. There's at least 500 people out there that want to come next Sunday. They're looking for someone to invite them, someone to ask them. And a lot of you know many of them. But if we don't ask them, they won't come. Oh, but preacher, I know them. No, you don't. Somebody thought they knew you too. But you came. Our focus must be upon winning others to Jesus Christ. And if our focus is there, everything else will come in line. How you live, how you walk, how you talk, how you treat your husband, how you treat your wife, how you treat your children, everything will come in line if your focus is upon winning people to Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, the weeks and the days that I feel so inadequate, I know this, that no one cares who leads them to the Lord as long as we lead them to the Lord. No one looks at who we were, what we've done, where we've been, but they must see Jesus in us today. So Lord, the only prayer that I have today is that people look at this church as individuals, they can see you and want you. Because in you comes eternal life. And everything of this world's going to fade away. Lord, we need you every hour we need you. Lord, we have a big day today. It's a sad day. It's been a sad month. But Lord, we walk in your light, believing in eternity. And because of that, we can face tomorrow. Because of that, we know who you are and we know who we are and we know we can make it. Because, Lord, every time we see someone come to you, we get another glimpse of you. Help us to see you more often. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.